Thank you for tuning in to the Dust Sign Podcast. My name is Dustin Mater, and I'm a visual artist. I've always been fascinated by the creative muse and where it comes from in myself and along with others. In tonight's episode, we will be speaking to the prolific artist Brenda Kingery about life, art, and legacy. Thank you for coming on tonight, Brenda.
It's my pleasure, Dustin. It's nice to talk to you.
It's nice to talk to you. Well, I'll just start off with our questions. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, I think I'm Brenda Kingery. I've been around here long enough to figure that out. And I'm a painter. That's what I do for a living, and that's who I am. I'm also Chickasaw, Native American.
Nice.
A little bit Scottish, too.
Yeah. You have a Scottish grandmother that was a princess as well?
Well, you know, nah. No, I don't know. We can't even find that Scottish grandmother, I'll tell you what.
Well, as I always riff on that joke whenever I would talk to folks and they say, oh, well, I have a Cherokee grandmother that was a princess. And
they were always princesses.
Always.
They?
We had a lot of princesses, you know.
Right.
Well, what inspires you?
Well, you know, inspiration comes in all different forms. And I was trying to laugh about the early inspirations when I would think, oh, when I was young, I would like to have 10,000 horses. That was one of the things that would have inspired me.
Yeah.
Later in life, of course, I changed dramatically. But so the places that I am inspire me, the people around me inspire me, and the stories that I hear inspire me.
That's awesome. What are you doing to be a good ancestor?
I think I'm a good listener, and I think that's very important because I think the people around me are always telling me stories in one form or another. I think I was telling you on the phone the other night, my grandmother, the real one, actually still leaves me all kinds of messages in her own way. I was looking through a book, actually using the book to write on with a piece of paper. Inside the cover of the book were two magazines. In it were articles written by my grandmother. She inspired me, and it tells me that the stories that we leave are what will help the future, I hope. I hope.
Indeed. That must have been very special to find that, like she meant that for you.
Yeah. Well, it was from 1954.
Definitely. Definitely reaching reaching through the right. Time, you know.
Reaching through time. That's right.
I think,
too, part of our ancestry, part of who we are storytellers, and I think we're supposed to be about that. And I think that's probably one of the gifts that we really have is telling our stories.
Indeed. As artists, I feel like it's our, you know, we've been given this gift, and to do anything less than to, you know, reach out and grind to whatever it is we're going towards is a messing around while Rome burns. And I feel that, like, that tick, tick, tick of time, and it's pushing me to do more and to be more, I don't know, just to be more and to be honest with whatever I find and putting it on paper or paint.
Right, right. I was thinking of the progress that you make as you're a painter, you know, as you start out. And one thing I was going to tell you was that early on, by the time we're 7 years old, a lot of time all of the inspirations drummed out of us by schools or by teachers who tell us that the trees have to be a certain color or the sky has to be a certain color. And so one of the blessings is just imagination. One of the real, I guess, gifts is you can keep that imagination, keep your originality, so that you as an artist are completely original, that you're not just jumping off of the next artist. And art history is very important. I don't mean that.
Yeah.
But then in that, you have to discover your own self.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's almost like, what is that? You got to learn all the rules before you can break and make your own.
Right. Right. If you paid your dues, if you've learned all, and that's usually, there's a number of ways to pay dues. It doesn't mean necessarily you have to be a college graduate. It means that you put your time in your craft, that you've really painted and painted and painted and painted and made a tremendous lot of mistakes. I think that's one of the best schools I've ever been to, is the school of mistakes. And all the times that I look at that and I go, gosh, where am I going from here? I have no idea where I am. I have no direction to go to. And then to follow through and solve that problem becomes part of your creativity, becomes part of the solution.
Absolutely. If you're not regularly failing in some way, you're not pushing hard enough. It's not to say that you're
right.
always going to fail, but you know, the path to success or to getting that idea out isn't a straight line. It's a very windy and curved road.
Right. And just at the time that you feel like that the painting is getting comfortable and you can do it, I spent a lot of time on abstract expressionism or that period. And then I went into narrative symbolism, which is what I do really. And when I got to the patterns that I began to use over and again, I thought, I'm way too comfortable in this. So it's time for me to push further, to do something totally different to keep me growing. And
yeah.
So and that's real important too. So then I went back to an earlier time where I did portraits just to push myself to see what's possible. And so you don't want to be in a rut, in other words.
Absolutely. You're always priming that well. Waiting for inspiration, well, you'll be waiting a long time, but I find that you got to constantly grind, be creating, and then the moment you start feeling that it's become too easy or that it's just not, you know, it's not, I mean, it may be paying bills or whatever, but it's not satisfying in that way that it drives you to work harder.
Well, there's another part, too. Is just doing the work itself every day. It's interesting because artists are usually pretty much alone or self-starters because you can't really sit in a room with a bunch of people and do the work that you do. So it's kind of a loner situation, and you have to be self-motivated to be able to do that. So it becomes a habit for you, and it becomes one that's very comfortable. And the time spent, sometimes when I'm really tired and I'm working on a piece, I will look at the piece and say, this is junk. I've got to step away. And
yeah.
So if I step away and do something else for an hour or two or a day even and come back to it and look at the same piece, it looks totally different. And I'll say, oh, this is not so bad as I thought it was. Or when I wake up in the morning and go in and the first thing I do is look at the piece I'm working on and something will jump out at me that was correction or where I go next in the piece. So I don't start out with a preconceived notion of what I'm going to do.
So it's an element of the serendipitous adventure with letting the moment unfold in and of itself. I like that approach, and I find that in myself. I actually just finished a painting today that has been sitting like in a halfway point for about like 4 months, 5 months.
Yeah.
And it probably since about the end of November, I started on it. And then about mid-December, I couldn't push any further with that particular piece at that moment. I knew there was something more, but I was at a place that I just couldn't push any further. But then I came back to it and I literally finished it over the course of about 6 hours.
And the funny thing with finishing a piece is when you finish it. And sometimes it comes easy and sometimes it seems like it will never finish.
Yeah.
And some of them are, I feel spirit led. They just flow. And when I finish, I look at it and I think, my goodness, how did I do that? Who did this? And there are other times where I labor over a piece. And sometimes in those pieces, I think I get self-control in there, and I miss all the mystery of it.
Yeah.
So I think the beautiful ones are the ones that you just sail through, and you let go of self, and you just become a part of the painting. You become a part of the process.
Yeah, it's almost like whenever you're dreaming, and you know you're enjoying it, and you're taking part in it. But it's the moment when you realize that, oh, this is a dream. That's the moment that it all like turns to you wake up. You know, it's like you've crossed the threshold, and the gold turns to dust.
Right. All the magic's gone, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was going to say one more thing.
Yeah, please.
Painting. If you're in, as a professional painter, that's another thing. And I think that's everyone that you've interviewed are all professionals, which is quite different from the Sunday painter. And so as a professional, you're going to work, in another way of putting it. And so you have to have the discipline to finish the pieces that you do. And if you're exhibiting, you have to commit to so many paintings a year that go in galleries or exhibits that you're about to do. And so your schedule is amazing. And the part that's the most interesting for me is it's somewhat like a farmer in that we put out a crop.
Mm-hmm.
And we never know if we're going to get paid for it, for sure.
Oh, you
know?
Lord, that's a very accurate analogy.
So you have to be a business person as well. You have to put aside so much for the next season. And so that's with painting as well. You have to put out a product. And so I start, if I know I'm doing an exhibit, I think, okay, I have to do, let's say, 15 pieces. I start with the large ones first because I love large, and then I work down to the smaller pieces. And so there's a whole element of business in that we are tasked to do too, that I think people don't realize. We're shipping and crating and framing and counting paintings and buying supplies. All of that's part of this time invented too.
Yeah. And
sorry.
Oh, no problem. You know, it is an element of whenever people think about artists or people making the art, they kind of they just see the skin surface. They just see
right. The
finished product or the artist that's composed and looking good. And you know, I know most artists are. You know, they're artists in many forms, but they're also in the art of life, and that, you know, each artist is different, but each of them hold a similarity, even though each one is unique. And maybe it's the uniqueness in each one of them that makes them have a uniformity to it. But what are you working towards? I know for me that the longer and longer I do this, I see more and more of the subconscious flowing through it, especially whenever I let go of trying to control it and get into the rhythm. I find my subconscious kind of coming through, and I only notice it after the fact. But I start noticing repeating themes and whatnot, and it doesn't matter which medium I do it in, but I kind of see the themes. But what do you see has been what you've been building towards, and what do you feel you still are working towards?
Well, I started out, you know, forever. I've been a painter forever. But the places we've lived have really inspired me and made me think in different ways. And as I get older, all those pieces are coming together. Sorry, I have a cough drop. You may have to.
No worries.
So what I'm telling you is, when I lived in Japan, I was fascinated with the dance there, the odori, that was called, and all the textiles that I saw. And so some of the early paintings were that, because that's what I was living. And then when we came back and I saw powwows, it just threw me over. I mean, I just loved it. And so what I saw in that was the pattern again. What I saw again was the dance, the movement, And so that part has inspired me all the way along, is that sort of motion. And so if I'm working in Uganda or wherever it is that I'm traveling, those dance pieces, those elements of textiles are what you see in my paintings. And so it still inspires me because there's not an end to that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just keep refining the process, I guess is what I'm telling. Just keep refining it and inspiring you to do more. One of the fellows I met recently, the whole family are dancers here in San Antonio with the Ballet Folklorica. So it's funny, I've been here a long time and I've never been connected. And I figure if I can watch them practice, that perhaps some new things will come out of that.
Yeah. Well, you definitely seem to be inspired by the dance. I love that. I love the motion in your works. It always speaks of the dance. It always speaks of motion. Even though yours is it's a still form of art, the motion and the rhythm in there is just, it grabs you and just pulls you in, where your eyes are shifting to the left and to the right. You have a masterful touch of drawing the viewer's eye and pulling it along.
I'm real tempted to Cullyhoma. And every time we get ready to go to Oklahoma, there's another event, and I miss Cullyhoma. I miss the dance. That's one of the things you ask me, and it would be my future. I would love to do that. I would love to be there. And I think that would inspire me as well. David Brooks, I don't know if you have ever heard him or read his books, but he talks about the dance in the form of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, when we're dancing, that's sort of like painting, and that we abandon ourselves and all our images and all our things, and we become a part of the universe. We're all together. It's a family then. It's a peaceful thing.
Yeah.
And that I really love, the thought that I kind of wish our countries could all just meet together and dance.
Absolutely. It is, last month I had the privilege of going to Fort Smith, Arkansas, with the Chickasaw Nation, and we got to do a stomp dance there with demo with the Seminole Nation and Cherokee Nation and the Choctaws and the Muscogee Creeks, and it was a wonderful moment to just be all there together in this place that we have so much history. Shared history with, some good, some bad, but to come back on the 200th anniversary of that place and do our songs, and it was just something special. It was just inspiring, as it would be a way I would describe it.
I think that's what inspires me. I really mean that. The dance is so beautiful. I went to a Seminole retreat center and we woke up for a conference, and I met a bunch of women who had been at Standing Rock, and we talked about being on ground at Standing Rock, and some of it was dance, which, you know, you didn't hear about on the news, but I thought how beautiful. And they talked about that was sort of gathering of family, the gathering of family, and I suspect that that's part of it, too, is when you're together. So I'm glad you got to do that, Dustin. That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. It's a privilege to get to take part in this and to be a bit of a, you know, as artists, we get to be cultural ambassadors if we're willing to embrace that aspect of what we do. Is there something you want to discuss, any projects that you're working on that you would like to share with the audience tonight, or, you know, something that you got going on? I know that we're in a shared show together that's going to be touring the Voices show.
Yes,
and we spoke to
coming up.
Yeah.
That's coming up, and the first one is June the 7th at Fred Jones Museum. And last night I talked to a friend I've had since high school, and she's coming. It's her birthday, so she's coming.
Oh, wonderful.
Just wonderful stories of people who will be there, and one of my Caddo friends from OU will be there. It's her anniversary. So
nice.
I think there's going to be a great gathering of us, and I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be great. By the way, June 7th was also the date of my opening in Paris, And so I had to call them. I canceled my show in Paris this year to
oh, really?
Be at the Fred Jones Museum.
Wow.
I hope I get another invitation.
Yeah. Well, I think they like you. I'm hoping that they'll be okay.
Oh, they're wonderful people. And
absolutely.
It's a wonderful gallery. So, yeah, I hope so. Yeah, and I think this Voices and Visual Voices is going to be, I think once we get started, I know we have four different places that we're going.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the Briscoe Museum here in San Antonio. So I've already sent the word out to Chicksaws in this area that we're hosting all of you artists. You'll all hopefully come. I know you've been to my house before. So
oh, yeah, it's marvelous.
Your family are welcome again, always.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed coming to your place and visiting with you and Tom quite a bit. What do you hope for the future in regards to what you're doing today in the art movement of the of this Meshkokian Renaissance of sorts and this native art Renaissance that's just growing? I mean, this is pure Americana. To its core, but in a way that's refreshing for a lot of people because they've never saw it through this prism. But what do you hope? What do you hope for the future?
Ahead.
Sorry.
Well, I was looking at IAIA, at the Contemporary Native Arts, and it's the Native American arts, and I think the whole school is about what we're talking about is contemporary art. And that's really important that people look at us as Native Americans, indigenous cultures, not only from the past, but who we are in the present and who we are for the future. And so our work may have resonance of the past, but it also has to have a good smack of who we are as artists, as painters or dancers or whatever. But I think we need a good bit of that too. And so it's almost like it's almost a bit of introduction for us, especially where we're coming from, which is not as recognized as some other artists. And so I'm hoping for this Visual Voices that this is an introduction for us, and people will begin to see who we are and where we came from. So we need to introduce the past, but we also need to be a part of the present and the future.
Indeed. Is there a way, Brenda, that folks can see your work online, or is there like some galleries that they can go to and see your work or get in contact with you?
Absolutely. Orendo Art International in Paris, and let's see, Susan Calloway in Washington, D.C. is a great gallery. Parchman Strimmel Gallery here in San Antonio, and Stefano Cortina Arts in Milan. Those would be the places where I show my work. I have a website that I can't find the website right now. I think it's down, but you can look BrendaKingreyArtist.com, and there's all kinds of information about me and the magazine articles, etc. So I think you can find that. Unfortunately, it's immersed with some other images that are not me, but I think you can find it on that, too.
Excellent. And I believe you have a Pendleton blanket as well.
I do.
And congratulations on that.
Center.
Yeah, at the Cultural
Thank
Center.
Thank you very much. Well, you do, too.
Yeah. Well, actually, mine has been retired. Because it was part of the Legendary Series, and the Legendary Series wasn't commissioned by the Chickasaw Nation. That was actually purely through the Pendleton Company. They do, on their Legendary Series, I guess they only run them so long, and then they discontinue them. And I guess if there's a popular enough request for it to return, they'll reissue the blankets.
Well, I hope it returns. It was a beautiful blanket.
Thank
beautiful.
You. Well, hopefully I can make a new one. I've been watching those folks that are at 8th generation, that the native blanket manufacturer company, And they look pretty interesting too. And that's a purely native enterprise.
That sounds very good. Well, see, there's always something new in the future. Let me know how that turns out. I'd love to design another one. That'd be great.
It would be.
Well, do that.
Thank you, Brenda. It's been wonderful to talk to you. And please come back on the show. And I hope the audiences, you'll be hearing from them. And if I hear anything from them, I'll share it with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brenda, for coming in tonight. It was a lot of fun talking to you. And I appreciate everyone for listening tonight. Till we meet again. Chapiza Lachaux.